Warner Brothers Pictures. A blue light draws the letter R on a field of black. The word Regency appears below it, and a white light shines across both. Heat. At night, steam blows across subway train tracks and into a dark blue sky. Cables hang over the tracks, and lights from a subway train move slowly toward us. In the background, lights shine from the windows of buildings. Passes escalators on a platform and then comes to a stop. A man with a goatee steps off the train. He walks to an escalator and rides it down with other passengers to a lower level. He's wearing coveralls and carrying a book. From a high angle, he's shown crossing the street. He steps onto a curb and walks past a statue that sits in front of a building. He walks through a set of doors into a hospital. His coveralls have a medical insignia. He looks around him as he passes patients, nurses, and doctors. He walks past staff typing at computers. Using his elbow, he presses a button that opens a glass door leading outside. He walks past an ambulance that reads LAFD. He walks between two parked ambulances and gets into the driver's side of one. In daylight, a blonde man with sunglasses is walking with a man in a hard hat who's carrying a long wooden box. Under a roof, the man in the hard hat walks behind a counter.
Check, charge, or cash?
Cash, and give that to Tax Demolition Tucson.
78830.
The blonde man shows an Arizona driver's license.
Okay.
The blonde man checks the contents of the box, finishes his transaction, and carries the box away on his shoulder. An orange sticker on it reads, "Explosive." In a shower, a man smooths back his wet hair. As steam blows from the shower, a woman lights a cigarette. She leans back on a bed.
Hey, taking me to breakfast?
I can't. I'm eating Bosco.
The man from the shower is putting on a tie.
Hey, Vincent.
A teenage girl enters.
Mom, where are my barrettes?
Hi, sweetie.
I set them on the kitchen table.
They're not there. I already checked.
Want me to make coffee?
No school today?
My dad's picking me up. He's taking me to the new building and then to lunch.
Try under the cushions on the sofa.
The girl stares at her mother, then walks away.
He's already a half an hour late.
Is he going to show, or is that jerk going to stand her up like last time?
I'll make coffee.
I'm out of time, baby.
Vincent grabs a gun and walks down some stairs. The woman throws back the covers and sits on the edge of the bed. She takes some pills.
Mom, where are my barrettes and out of the cap?
Mom walks down the stairs reading a newspaper.
Oh, where are the blue ones?
I don't want to wear the blue ones. They don't match.
Did you check in your bathroom?
I checked everywhere.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Find them. Mom, pay attention.
All right, sweetie, all right. What?
Daddy's going to be here.
Okay, he's going to be...
I'm not going to be ready. I can't be late.
Before Daddy comes, we can find them together. If we look together, it's all right, baby. It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
We'll find him together. You and me will find him together. Just relax. He won't come before we find him. I promise you.
She holds her daughter. Elsewhere, a man with long hair walks outside, pulling on a shirt. He pours the last bit of liquid from a styrofoam cup onto the ground and steps to a window of a food vendor.
Hey, give me another refill.
A man in an apron takes his cup.
Now he won't refill.
The long-haired man puts on his sunglasses and, without waiting for his refill, runs to a semi-trailer tow truck that pulls to the curb. The man in the cab of the truck holds up his hand.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
The driver pauses, then opens the door, and Wayne Gross swings on it, then gets in the cab.
Michael, huh?
The driver nods, and shadows move across the truck's custom paint job as he pulls away.
You guys always work together.
All the time.
Real tight, Drew, huh?
Real tight.
Yeah, this works good. I'd consider going again, you know?
Yeah. Stop talking, okay, Slick?
Wayne Gross stares at him. In the ambulance, the man with a goatee has a walkie-talkie.
How's he doing?
A man with a mustache responds.
Right on schedule. Made a right on Venice Boulevard. We're a mile and a half from you.
Okay.
The blonde man is in the passenger seat of the ambulance and he turns off the radio. Michael backs the semi between support columns of an elevated freeway, then stops.
Just crossed over the number one lane. 300 yards from you now.
Get set.
I am.
The man with the goatee puts on a white hockey mask. The blonde man puts on a black one. Michael is also in a mask.
Here we go.
The ambulance drives forward. The semi-tow truck pulls out. The ambulance drives down the street as the truck speeds between the freeway supports. The ambulance passes in front of an armored car, then backs up into its path, forcing it to stop. The tow truck races forward as the ambulance backs up. Two guards are in the back of the armored car. One is reading a newspaper. The semi-tow truck speeds toward the side of the armored car, and the driver sees it coming. The semi-tow truck plows into the armored car, sending it onto its side and sliding down the street. Its roof hits cars on a car lot, and decorative streamers fall gently from a pole. The blonde man runs to the armored car while the man with the goatee aims a gun.
211! 211! We're being held up!
The guards inside lift themselves up. Michael runs backward with an automatic rifle, and the blonde man runs to him.
There's the call.
The man with the goatee starts a stopwatch.
Clear!
He runs near Michael and the blonde man. The guards are still in the armored car. The blonde man hits a detonator. The back doors of the armored car explode, shattering the windows of cars on the lot. The men in hockey masks run to the armored car and the man with the goatee goes in. He shoves a guard outside. Wingro pushes the guard violently. The man with a goatee throws the other guard out, then climbs out after him. The blonde man goes into the armored car and looks through some envelopes. Michael stands guard outside while the blonde man continues to sift through envelopes. Wangro is holding a gun on the guards. Meanwhile, the man with a mustache pulls a chain of spikes across the road.
80 seconds left!
Wangro yells at a guard.
Get back! Get back!
Michael looks at him.
Get back!
Wangro hits the guard.
Hey, Slick. See this stuff coming out of their ears? They can't hear you. Cool it!
The guard stares straight ahead with blood on his face and streaming out of his ears. In the armored car, the blonde man grabs an envelope and a plastic bag and runs out.
I got it! I got it!
Wingro continues to aim at the two guards and the driver who are standing still.
You had a mess with me. You want to mess with me?
He shoots a guard in the forehead, and the driver pulls a gun from an ankle holster. The man with the goatee shoots him. The other guard steps away slowly. Michael and the man with the goatee keep their guns pointed at him. The man with the goatee nods to Michael. Michael shoots the guard, and they all run into the ambulance. In the back of the ambulance, Wingro takes off his hockey mask, and they speed away. The man with a goatee grabs Wayne Grove. Police cars race to the scene. One speeds over the spikes and skids. Another one drives over the spikes and hits the first. A third pulls up behind them. An officer gets out and signals other squad cars to stop. The ambulance is parked at a quiet street corner. The man with a mustache gets out of the driver's side and the others exit from the back. The blonde man starts a timer taped to a plastic jug of liquid. He sets it in the ambulance and shuts the doors. Back at the crime scene, an officer is with a witness. Near the ambulance, the robbers get into a car and drive away. Fire explodes out the back of the ambulance and flames lick out of the windows. At night in a parking garage, the man with a goatee is with a man with glasses who's looking at the contents of the envelope from the armored car.
$1,000,006. 40 cents on the dollar, $640,000 to you. $950 front money. Get you the rest 2-3 days. Know who owned these?
The man with a goatee reads the envelope.
Malibu Equity and Investments.
Roger Van Zandt. Owns banks in the Caymans. Runs investment portfolios for offshore drug money. Stuff like that.
So?
So, he ripped off his bearer bonds.
Yeah, he's got insurance.
That's the point. He collects 100% from the insurance. He's a player. Maybe he buys his bonds back from us for 60% of their value. Make 40% on top of the 100%. Sell it back to him instead of going to the street that's an extra $320,000 to you.
Try it on.
Kelso called.
About what?
Score he's putting out wants you to look at.
What do I need his score for? I got my own.
Says it's clean in low 8 figures.
9 a.m. tomorrow.
What happened out there?
Don't ask.
The man with the goatee walks away. At the crime scene, a car pulls up near squad cars with flashing lights. An officer lifts police tape and the car drives under. Vincent gets out of the car and looks around as he walks. An officer is examining the armored car with a flashlight. The dead driver is on the ground with a bloody face.
Find the ambulance?
Dumped it.
What blocks were there?
20th Cracker Creek between Figueroa and Flower. They torched it, burned everything, the guns, clothes, everything.
Vincent sees a camera crew near a helicopter.
They were airborne. They taped the last few seconds of the black and white steel and demolition derby.
Vincent points to the semi-tow truck.
Stolen out of Fresno 2 weeks ago. The yellow pickup truck out of Whittier day before yesterday's case.
You taking this one, Lieutenant? Or does it stay in division? Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven. Robbery, homicides, take it.
All yours. We got 3 motorists. All they saw were men with masks. They were distant. Console TV man over there, however, he was close.
The homeless witness has a TV and a shopping cart.
Did ID anybody?
Well, he was hiding. He heard it mostly.
Vincent walks toward the dead guards.
Okay, what about them?
All right, now, according to TV man, this guy started mouthing off.
Smart?
Yeah, somebody called a guard Slick.
Slick?
Yeah. Now, this guy, I figure this guy went for that holdout piece, ankle holster, right? Here. Bang, 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 bang. Side. This guy here has got what appears to be a double tap entry wound to the sternum. Tattooing around the head wound, scorched bone, close range, probably executed. And it was $1,000,006 in bearer bonds. And they ignored the loose cash.
Because they had no time, because they were on a clock. Which means they knew our response time to a 211, had our air, immobilized it, entered. Escape in under 3 minutes. It's a good spot here. We got good escape routes. 2 freeways within a quarter of a mile. Traffic video camera, probably disabled. Check it anyway.
You recognize the M.O.?
M.O. is that they're good. Once it escalated into a murder 1B for all of them after they killed the first 2 guards, they didn't hesitate. Pop guard number 3, because what difference does it make? Why leave a living witness? Drop of a hat, these guys will rock and roll. The shape charge. The shape charge indicates that they are technically proficient. Proficient enough to go in on the prowl, so let's start looking for recent Highline burglaries that have mystified us. Run Slick is an alias to the FBI. You're going to get the phone book. Do it anyway. Who's moving the bearer bond?
He turns to detectives.
Check the usual fences. You and I will check Cusimano and Torino. I want you to take Goldstein and Alfaro. Hang in with forensics. From the bomb squad, I want the explosive. If we're lucky, it's exotic. We can trace the sale.
In a diner, Wangro is eating.
I want some pie.
The blonde man, Wangro, Michael, and the mustache man are in a booth. The blonde man looks outside as a car pulls up.
Gotta go to the job.
The mustached man walks away. Michael moves to a seat at the counter across from the booth. He sits down and stares at Wangrow. The man with a goatee walks into the diner wearing a double-breasted suit and a white shirt open at the collar. He sits next to Wangrow in the booth as Michael returns from the counter and sits in front of him.
I had to get it on, man. He was making a move. I had to get it on.
The man with a goatee smashes Wangrow's head against the table and then against the wall. A customer looks at them, but Michael stares at him and he looks back down to his paper. The man with a goatee grabs Wangrow by the hair, then lets go.
Splits of the car took out of ours evenly. To make up for his full end. Because I want to pay off and get rid of this piece of dirt right now.
They all get up to leave. Wangrow grabs his jacket angrily as he walks behind the man with a goatee. As they go outside, Michael and the blonde man drop further behind them. The man with a goatee quickly turns, punches Wangrow in the stomach, then grabs him by the head. The blonde man and Michael stand guard. The man with the goatee kicks Wangrow to the ground, and the mustached man opens a car trunk, revealing a large black plastic bag. The man with the goatee pulls a gun.
Hold it!
A squad car drives by, and the man with the goatee stops. The men watch the squad car carefully. The squad car turns on its lights and drives away. The man with the goatee turns back to Wangrow, but he's gone. He looks under a pickup truck. The other men start to look for him. The man with a goatee runs to a car and looks underneath it. He runs to some tractor trailers and looks around with his gun drawn. The other men help him search. The man with a goatee looks into the darkness across the street but does not see Wangrow. In a dark room, a pistol is placed on a table. A man walks to windows that reach floor to ceiling and looks at the ocean. He's silhouetted against the dark blue water and night sky. It's the man with a goatee, and he's staring at the rippling water. He walks away from the windows. Elsewhere, near a pool, a woman is counting cash as the blonde man walks up.
Where's the rest?
We're late. You look too good to go out.
He bends down and starts kissing her.
Where is it?
Square the bookies, baby. It's more a couple days, so don't square it. Come on, we really are late.
Yeah, come on. You gotta be kidding me.
She follows him into a house.
Honey, it ain't worth the risks you take for $8,000. Like in risk versus reward, baby.
Let's go. Get your coat.
He puts on a jacket.
There is no point talking to you because all you are is a child grown older.
What's this supposed to mean?
It means we're not making forward progress like real grown-up adults living our lives because I'm married to a gambling junkie who won't listen.
Charlene, get in the car.
What am I doing in this rat bastard situation?
We're not! What do you want from me? Leave the bank book and the car keys in the kitchen on your way out the door. Now, are we going or are we going
alone? You think he's that other crap, but Dominic would go with me.
He jumps over a railing toward her.
Don't even think about it.
He walks away. He knocks a picture off the wall as he leaves. Outside, a sports car pulls out of the driveway. Elsewhere, Vincent is in his car and takes a phone call.
Yeah, tell me Albert Torino called back.
No. Report came in. The explosive was Diex, Leonard-shaped charge used in demolition. She can pick it up with a driver's license in Nevada, Arizona, New Mexico. Too common to trace a sale, Vincent.
Oh, that's wonderful.
He hangs up as his car continues along a dark street. Later at home, he grabs a piece of chicken, a glass, and a bottle of liquor. His wife comes down the stairs.
Are you all right? What happened? Where you been?
He sits at a table.
Work. Lauren's dad show up?
Didn't call, didn't show. We waited for you till 10:30.
He pours some bourbon.
Now, does this guy have any idea what's going on with this kid?
I don't know.
She bites her lip as he takes a sip of his drink.
Oh, is she okay?
She's been in her room all day. So no, she's not okay. Neither am I. I made dinner for us 4 hours ago. Every time I try to maintain a consistent mood between us, you withdraw.
I got 3 dead bodies on a sidewalk off Venice Boulevard, Justine. I'm sorry. If the damn...
He picks up the chicken leg.
If chicken got overcooked.
She holds up her hands, then walks back upstairs. Vincent watches her go, then rubs his forehead. In a bookstore, a woman walks out of a door that reads, "Employees Only." The man with a goatee is looking through a book. The woman walks past him, and he steps out of her way. Later, in a crowded diner, he's carrying a bag. He walks to a seat at the counter.
Coffee, sir?
Please.
He takes a book from the bag.
Pass the cream.
The woman from the bookstore is sitting next to him and hands him the cream.
What'd you get?
What?
What are you reading?
He passes back the cream and looks at his coffee, then glances at her.
Book about metals.
She looks at the book.
Stress fractures and titanium. What kind of work you do?
Lady, why are you so interested in what I read or what I do?
I've seen you in a store from time to time.
What store?
Missy and Ingalls. I work there. If you don't want to talk to me, it's okay. Sorry I bothered you.
She turns away, but he keeps looking at her. He leans toward her.
I didn't mean to be rude. I didn't recognize you. I work in metals. I'm a salesman. My name's Neil.
He holds out his hand.
I'm Edie.
She smiles and shakes his hand.
You like working there?
Sure. I get a discount and there's a whole section of books in my area.
What area is that?
Graphic design. I do letterheads and logotypes at night and store's day job till I get enough going.
Who do you do that for?
A restaurant. I did their menus and a small record label. And CDs. I've done 2 so far.
You go to school for that?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Parsons.
Oh, where's that?
New York City.
And how long you been in here?
About a year.
You like it?
Not really. I'm mostly here for the work.
Neil takes a sip of coffee. She smiles and looks at him.
Live in this neighborhood?
No, I live kind of above Sunset Plaza. It's actually kind of it's a little house that I rent. Yeah. It's just kind of run down, but a beautiful, beautiful view. What about you?
I live up here.
Later, the lights of Los Angeles twinkle in the night.
So where's your family from originally?
Scots Irish. They immigrated to Appalachia in the late 1700s. Where are you from?
They sip drinks on a balcony.
Bay Area.
Are your folks there?
Well, my mother died a long time ago. My father, I don't know where he is. Got a brother somewhere.
Well,
You have a tight family, I can tell.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
Neil looks down, and Edie looks out over the lights.
City of lights. In Fiji, they have these iridescent algae. They come out once a year in the water. That's what it looks like out there.
You been there?
No, I'm going there someday.
Oh, yeah.
She smiles and nods.
You travel a lot?
Yeah.
What makes you lonely?
He rubs his chin.
I'm alone. I am not lonely. You?
I feel lonely.
He reaches out and strokes her hair. They kiss as the city lights twinkle in the background. They hold each other tightly. Later, they're in bed and Edie is asleep. Neil gets up as she continues to sleep peacefully. Shortly after, he's dressed and carrying a glass of water wrapped in a napkin. He sets it on her nightstand, then watches her sleep. With a furrowed brow, he walks away. In daylight, Vincent and a dark-haired detective drive along a dirt road and pull up to a large, dilapidated structure with corrugated metal walls. People are sitting outside. Detectives get out of the car and the dark-haired man points to his left. Vincent walks to a door and goes inside as a group of men watch. The dark-haired detective is walking in the opposite direction. Inside, Vincent passes an old school bus and dogs in cages. A man is holding one of the dogs. Vincent opens a door and the dark-haired detective comes from another direction.
Albert.
Listen, man, what are you doing coming here for, man? You crazy? This ain't Disneyland,
man. You were supposed to get back to me last night. Where the hell you been?
Couldn't break free, Vincent, you know?
Let's violate his ass right now.
I do for you. You don't do for me. Is that it?
Listen, man, I swear, I was out all night, man. I'm hitting like one of them flamingo matador guys, man.
It's got nothing to do with
you. I was cutting it real smooth. I'm generating leads and stuff for you. I'm a dancer, man, you know.
That's bull. I paged your ass all day. I can't stand paging.
Speed freak, jacking methamphetamine again.
Oh, man, where's your empathy, brother? It's a substance abuse
problem. Empathy was yesterday. Today.
Now you're just wasting my time.
Listen, man, look.
You fall in love? Come on. Did you fall in love last night? You went off somewhere?
Vincent.
Just tell me that. I'll settle for it. You know what I mean? I'll buy that.
Vincent.
Give me all you got!
Vincent.
Give me all you got!
I swear, my brother Richard's gonna talk to you. Man.
I heard Richard.
Vincent holds his hand up to his ear.
He's gonna talk to you.
Richard? Richard?
He gonna meet you, man, I swear, tonight.
He's not here, is he?
No, he gonna meet you tonight.
Tonight? What happened to right now?
I employed him because I knew you was coming this a.m.
That's a
you
bunch
know.
Of bull.
No, I swear, he said no. Because he in Phoenix.
Ah, by the time I get to
man,
Phoenix.
I swear, man, tonight's the best
be rising. He'll probably leave a note right on the door.
Tonight's the best I can do for you, man. You know? He'll meet you at BJ's on Alvarado at 2 a.m. Be there.
You be there too,
Vince. I can't be there, man. I got things to do. I got places to be.
He knocks over a bottle.
Be there.
He and the detective walk away, and Albert stares after them. Vincent turns and points at him.
Don't waste my time!
Neil is with a bearded man outside a sliding glass door.
What is it?
Behind the door are two computers.
It's a bank. It depots cash on Thursday for distribution to all the other branches to cover Friday payroll checks. So on Thursdays, the command branch has got a full whack.
On the prowl is strong.
Strong, through the front door.
How many guys?
Four or three plus a driver. You walk in, you knock them over, you walk out.
And you want $100,000 advance against a 10% cut for that?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like an address to a cowboy score. They hit the hold-up alarms. I got to get out of there before the cops show. What is that?
They hit three hold-up alarm systems. Two telco and a cellular.
The bearded man is Kelso.
See, but the signals aren't going anywhere because... See, the night before, you cut in and trick out the alarm system computer to turn itself and the video recorders off 20 minutes before you walk in the door.
Architectural, electrical, engineering plans.
I got it. I got schematics. I got the boards already built to go straight into the CPU.
What's the estimate?
12.1, 12.2 million.
You're on.
Congratulations. And to give you a little idea of where my estimates come from, this is a printout.
Nobody knew the merch was yours. Be that as it may, my way you get 100% from the insurance company and take the bonds back from us at 60 cents on the dollar and make yourself another 40%.
The man with glasses is on the phone with Roger Van Zandt.
The operation doesn't skip a beat, everybody makes out.
Sure, you got a deal.
Good, because there's no percentage everyone gets their underwear in a twist over this.
Yeah. So you have your man call me and we'll set the meet.
Yeah, okay.
Nice talking to you.
You gonna duel these guys?
So word's on the street, it's okay to steal my stuff. I'm gonna kill the sons of bitches. Have Harry bring me the spreadsheets for Canary Islands offshore.
At Kelso's, the man with the glasses walks toward him and Neil. Satellite dishes sit outside.
As I was saying, that's not really an estimate. Those are exact figures.
How do you get this information?
Just comes to you. This stuff just flies through the air. They send this information out and it's just beamed out all over the place. All I have to do is know how to grab it.
Kelso looks through a computer printout.
Okay, here we go. 13.9 million.
Later, Neil walks away with the man with the glasses.
I bought it.
Good.
What did I tell you?
They walk to their cars, and the man hands Neil a slip of paper.
Yeah. We're on. Call Van Zandt, collect the money.
How is he?
He's a businessman.
They shake hands.
Okay.
Later, Neil walks into his house. Chris is sleeping on the hardwood floor with a pillow. The large windows with the ocean view are behind him. Charlene is home with her son.
Hello.
Yeah, hello.
This is at my place. What's wrong?
Husband and wife stuff.
I'll let him sleep it off here.
Chris wakes up. He stands and puts his gun in his pants. Neil pours coffee.
What happened to you?
He hands Chris a cup.
I need to get some furniture.
When I get around to it.
Charlene's gonna leave me.
Why?
Neil sits in a chair and Chris sits on an ottoman.
No mistakes in the freezer.
With everything we've been doing?
Vegas' Super Bowl cleaned me up. And you gotta get an old lady.
I'll get around to it. You got something else on the side?
Nothing regular.
So you got something else on the side?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Chris takes out a pack of cigarettes.
I don't know what you're doing. Remember Jimmy McElwain on the yard used to say you want to be making moves on the street, have no attachments, allow nothing to be in your life that you cannot walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you spot the heat around the corner. Remember that?
For me, the sun rises and sets with a man.
Yeah. Okay. Today we take
take delivery cash from Van Zandt, then I drop a deposit on Kelso for his bank.
Bank? What bank? What about the platinum thing that's ready to fall?
That goes to Bender Bank.
The ocean is calm behind them as Neil puts down his cup.
Want the breakfast?
Neil gets up. A man and woman are in a car.
You okay?
Yeah, sugar.
They kiss. She rubs his back.
Yeah. For real.
Okay.
Gonna do good. I'll see you later.
He gets out of the car with some papers. In a diner, a man in a chef's coat is working as the man from the car walks up behind him.
Mr. Michael? I'm Don Breed. Pearson, my parole officer, told me to come by here and said you had a job for me.
So you're familiar with this kind of operation, huh?
Yeah, man, I'm a great grill man.
Good, good for you. Here, you'll mop out the toilets, hit the dishwasher, bus tables, and empty the garbage, too. Give me a hard time, I'll report you loaded, drunk, or stealing, and I will violate you back so fast your head will spin. 25% of your take-home kicks back to me. Rules of the game. Paul Grierson, check it out. Change in the back.
Breeden frowns and stares at Selenko.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Slowly, Breeden walks to the back. Neil is at a payphone.
Investments.
Yeah, Roger Van Zandt.
Please hold.
Yeah, this is Roger Van Zandt.
I'm supposed to collect something?
Give me your number and somebody will call you right back from a different line.
Neil reads the payphone number.
818-133-6089.
Van Zandt writes it on a notepad. He dials a few numbers and holds out the note. A woman sitting beside Van Zandt speaks Spanish as another woman takes the note. Neil is waiting by the phone.
Yep.
I got a package for you. There's a drive-in on Centinela. 2:30 tomorrow.
Okay, just send one man alone.
Neil watches as Charlene steps out of a motel room with a man. She kisses him, then watches him leave. Shortly after, a housekeeping cart rolls in front of the window of the motel room. Charlene answers the door. Neil bursts in and she backs away from him.
Who was that guy?
Nobody.
Who was that guy?
He's nobody.
I don't know who he is. Who is he?
He's nobody, Neil.
Listen,
he's a legit liquor wholesale sailor from Las Vegas. Alan Marciano.
Chris is going to straighten it up with you.
It's too late. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it.
Shut up! Here's the deal. You will give Chris one last shot. After that, he fouls up, then I will finance sending you up myself, on my own, any way you want. Dominic will go with you, and my word counts. But right now, you will give him the chance.
She stares at him.
Clean up, go home.
She keeps staring.
Clean up, go home.
She walks away. He watches her, then walks to the door. He looks at the rumpled bed covers and walks out. Through a windshield, the neon lights of a two-level shopping plaza glow in the night. Vincent parks his car and gets out. He has a cigar in his mouth as he walks past the shops. A man is sitting on a railing, and another is standing smoking a cigarette as he walks by. Vincent walks around a corner, and a door opens upward.
Coming in alone, sending two.
Yeah, got it.
A man with a walkie-talkie opens a freight elevator door, and Vincent steps out. Ahead of him, a woman walks through a metal detector, and a man waves electric wands along her body. Vincent steps around the detector and into a nightclub. Albert is laughing with a woman. Vincent is walking through the crowded dance floor.
Vincent, hey, man. Vincent. Hey, Vincent, it's my brother, Richard Vincent.
Richard.
Richard shakes his hand and looks away.
And what do you got for me?
Before we even get into that, there's this cool ripping rides all along the beach areas. Now, the back of a trim shop on Irvine, if somebody wants to pay a little visit this weekend, they might find two turbos and a 911 slope.
You're looking to rid yourself of your competition.
Hmm? I'm a good citizen.
I'm Donald Duck. So you got something to tell me or what?
Check this out, cuz. How do I know if I tell you what you need to know, you're gonna do what I need to get done?
Man, Hannah, straight up, man, we do business all the time.
I ain't your cuz, your little life slime. And you know, cuz I say so. After I hear, what the hell you gotta tell me?
You understand what I'm saying? I can get killed for telling you this stuff.
Killed walking your doggy.
All right. This cat I was locked up with in Folsom. Did a couple of 2-3 years. He got out, and I ran into him.
And so?
He's a big fiend for action. Now, if he'd have said nothing, I'd have thought nothing. But he goes on and on running down to me how he ain't been doing nothing and nothing's been going on and all this other bull. So right then and there, I know this cat's got something going down.
Vincent looks at him, then looks at Albert.
Pretty great. Albert, what's wrong with you? You drag me here, waste my time like this. You saw a guy on the street who's an ex-con.
That's right.
Well, I am over flipping well. What do you want for that, a junior G-man badge? Is you kidding me?
Vincent starts to leave.
Hey, Vince, telling you, man, this slick is no joke, man. You know what I'm saying?
Say what? Say what?
What?
You said slick. What does that mean?
Slick. That's what he calls people. Slick.
Vincent sits back down, chewing gum.
And tell me about him.
About 6 feet tall. A lot of jailhouse tats. Got a big-ass peacock right here.
Richard points to his arm, and Vincent stops chewing.
What's his name?
Torito. Michael Torito.
Later, Vincent is on the phone.
33 busts since 1976. 11 for armed robbery. 3 convictions. 2 out of a 3-to-5-year beef in Attica.
3 years in Marion. 5 years in Folsom, off a knockback to involuntary manslaughter.
Jacket's 2 inches thick.
Okay, who do I have there now?
Drucker and me, boss, and Schwartz.
Tell SAS I want full surveillance. That's 24 hours, round the clock, day and night. We never close, open 7 days a week. Bug the car, the house, the works. When he moves or sits, like in a restaurant, I want pictures of who he moves and sits with. Then you guys run makes on them. They got jackets. I want to see who they move and they sit with. I want it up and running by tomorrow night.
In daylight, a man sits in a car. A white pickup truck has a package on the dashboard as it drives across a deserted drive-in theater and past the abandoned concessions building. The pickup truck pulls up next to the passenger side of the car the man is sitting in. Neil is at the wheel of the car with an earpiece in his left ear. The man in the truck rolls down his window.
Put your hands where I can see him.
All right.
I tell you what to do, I tell you how to do it. And with your right hand only. Your right hand only.
A man's foot steps out from the back of the truck.
Take the package and throw it in here.
The driver of the truck slowly takes the package from the dash. A man crouches between the vehicles. The driver tosses the package through the open window of Neil's car. The crouching man has a gun as Chris talks into a headset.
Behind you.
On the right.
Neil throws the car into reverse and hits the gas. The man with the gun falls to the ground. Chris rolls across a roof and aims an automatic rifle. Neil backs over a speaker post. Chris shoots at the truck and hits the driver's window. The man with the gun limps toward the back of the truck with a bloody leg, but it pulls away without him. Chris continues to shoot as the truck drives away. Neil holds a pistol to the windshield as he drives. The man with the gun aims at him with a grimace and fires. Neil shoots through the windshield as he drives toward him. Chris aims at the limping man and hits him. Neil shoots him again, then hits him with the car. The man hits the windshield and falls to the ground. The truck races for the exit. Michael comes out from behind a fence with a shotgun and shoots. The driver collapses, and the truck, riddled with bullet holes, rolls into a concrete barrier. Shortly after, Neil tears open the package to find a blank paper inside. Later, Van Zandt's leaving his office with his assistant. Van Zandt stops and picks up the phone.
Yeah, Roger Van Zandt?
Yeah, who's this?
You know what this is.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I sent a guy to deliver the package.
He didn't call. Is everything right?
Tell you what, forget the money.
What?
Forget the money.
What are you doing? What do you mean, forget the money?
What am I doing? I'm talking to an empty telephone.
I don't understand.
Because there was a dead man on the other end of this line.
Neil hangs up. Van Zandt slowly takes the handset from his ear. Later, Neil and his crew are at a restaurant with their wives. A little girl is sitting next to Neil. Michael's wife takes a ring from a box as Neil watches. She looks at him.
Do you know? So you are insane.
She kisses Michael and they hug as Neil watches.
You like it?
Beautiful.
Just don't ask him where he got it.
Yeah, that's what I am.
Chris whispers to Charlene and she nods. Neil looks at Michael and his daughter.
She doesn't know, just like me. I don't know either.
Neil gets up. Edie is at home working on a computer when the phone rings.
Hello?
Hi, it's me.
Hey, I was wondering if you'd go.
I've been busy. Can I see you?
I was afraid that was just the one night, you know?
No, well, not for me, it wasn't.
Yeah, me neither.
Can I borrow mine?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you in a little bit.
Edie smiles as she hangs up. Later, the man with the mustache and his wife walk out of the restaurant with Michael's wife and daughter. They stop on the sidewalk and say goodbye to Neil, Chris, and Charlene. They're being watched from above.
Which one's sleeping? The wide one. Got two transmitters. One's in the wheel backup, is in the firewall.
Is that Neil?
The one with the blonde hair is Chris, your hairless. SIS has got a revolving tail, hung a wire on the house front.
Vincent and detectives watch Michael talk to Neil.
Cerritos cruised the precious metals depository three times. Platinum, silver, and some bullion. Sammy and I think that's going to be their next score.
Who's the loner?
Neil walks alone.
First time we're seeing him. We're not on him yet.
He gets in his car.
Now get on it.
A valet shuts Chris's car door. The wife of the mustached man waves to Charlene as they drive away. Vincent and the detective stand as the cars pull away. Drucker, the dark-haired detective, is next to Vincent.
When these guys walk out the door, of whatever score they're going to take next, they're going to have the surprise of a lifetime.
A woman in red bra and panties is holding cash as she puts on a shirt. She puts the money in her purse.
Hey, baby, time to go.
Showed you good time, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. You fly. You cool.
Wayne grows on a bed, his chest and arms covered with tattoos as he sits on the edge of the bed facing the woman.
You lie to me. I can always tell when people lie to me.
I ain't lying. You a hot dog. A regular rodeo rider.
Wayne grows smiling.
Now I got to get my ass street side, sugar.
You don't have a truth-telling style.
What are you talking about?
You don't know what this is.
He sits straight up, and she stares at him.
Grim Reaper's visiting with you.
He stares at her and leans closer. He grabs her by the hair. Later, in a bar, a bottle is opened and set in front of him as he lights a cigarette.
Where you been?
She with Pelican Bay. New Folsom B-Wing. I am a cowboy. Looking for anything heavy. Billy Ricketts said come see you. That is why I am here.
He looks at the bartender. Then takes a sip of his beer.
Why don't you call this guy here? This guy's always been guys on.
Thank you, brother.
The bartender walks away. In another bar, on a dance floor, Justine laughs and walks away from Vincent. They walk to Drucker and his wife. Another detective is there with his date.
That's the truth.
Vincent and Justine are slow dancing.
That's what's so wonderful about you, in that mystical sort of way.
Woman. Better be earth-shattering.
His pager reads one page, 911, then a phone number. Later, he parks near a squad car and a fire truck with flashing lights. He gets out of the car. He walks past more cruisers under a neon motel sign. A crowd has formed near police tape. An officer lifts the tape and Vincent walks under. He passes graffiti-covered walls. Near a dumpster, officers and investigators are working with flashlights and taking notes.
Here's how we found her.
An investigator hands Vincent a photo of a woman's naked body slumped into a trash can.
How old?
16, 17. Been here about 6 hours.
How'd she die, Rachel?
Beat her head in, same as the others. Cerebral hematoma.
The naked woman is on the ground, covered with a plastic sheet.
Who's that?
Mother and siblings, I guess.
What the hell are they doing here?
Somebody inside knew the girl and called the family.
A distraught woman is with the police. Rachel lifts the plastic sheet and Vincent looks at the victim's bloody face.
Nice.
Rachel covers her again.
When I run a DNA check on the semen, my intuition says it's coming up the same guy, so it's a series and ending up in your court.
Sheriff's homicide getting anywhere there?
Not yet.
The distraught woman runs under the police tape.
Get off of me.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Vincent runs to her.
Oh.
He holds her. He looks into her face. He pulls her head to his shoulder.
Where's my baby? Where's she?
She pulls the lapels of his jacket. He holds her again. He gently breaks the embrace. And a female officer takes her away. He stands still and stares as they leave. Then he turns and walks back toward the body. In an empty restaurant, Vincent walks to Justine, who's waiting at a table. He sits down across from her.
I guess the earth shattered.
So why didn't you let Bosco take you home?
I didn't want to ruin their night, too. What was it?
You don't want to know.
I'd like to know what's behind that grim look on your face.
I don't do that. You know it. Let's go. Come on.
You never told me I'd be excluded.
I told you when we hooked up, baby, that you were going to have to share me with all the bad people and all the ugly events on this planet.
And I bought into that sharing because I love you. I love you fat, bald, money, no money, driving a bus. I don't care. But you have got to be present like a normal guy some of the time. That's sharing. This is not sharing. This is leftovers.
Oh, I see. What I should do is come home and say, "Hi, honey, guess what? I walked into this house today where this junkie just fried his baby in a microwave because it was crying too loud. So let me share that with you. Come on, let's share that. And in sharing it, we'll somehow,
Cathartically dispel all that heinous stuff.
She rests her forehead on her hand.
Wrong. You know why?
Because you prefer the normal routine, then you lose the power of speech.
I preserve it because I need it. It keeps me sharp, on the edge, where I gotta be.
She stares at the floor.
You don't live with me. You live among the remains of dead people. You sift through the detritus. You read the terrain. You search for signs of passing, for the scent of your prey, and then you hunt them down. That's the only thing you're committed to. The rest is the mess you leave as you pass through. What I don't understand is why I can't cut loose of you.
He looks at her. Elsewhere, Don Breeden is holding a drink when his girlfriend walks up.
Hey, it's Lily.
Let's go, baby. I met the manager. Is that the boss? Can you just handle it till we find you something new? Can you do that?
Ain't a hard time in a minute that I cannot handle. What you hanging with me for, Lillian?
Because I'm proud of you.
You proud of me?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you proud of me for?
Come on home.
She stands up. Elsewhere, Neil is at Edie's.
What are you doing there?
I was skiing. I was trying to ski. That's what people do there. You go skiing and you meet people and you try to have a good time.
Did you have a good time?
No.
Why not?
I'm not good at meeting people.
You met me?
Well, it happened without my thinking about it. Which is why, probably.
No, it's because you were fine. Edie, take off with me for a while.
Where?
New Zealand.
When?
I have to go separate. You can meet me there.
On my job?
I got money. You don't need money. You can set up a studio to work there.
I don't know.
What's there to know?
Are you married? You come and go.
The last thing I had was married. I'm a needle starting at zero going the other way, a double blank. And all of a sudden, someone like you comes along.
You don't know me, Neil.
I know enough.
Smiles.
Yeah.
Good.
He smiles, then kisses her. Later, sun shines on Justine's daughter's hair as she sits near a chain link fence with a backpack. She watches a dark car drive past. It turns around and stops in front of her. Vincent is in the passenger seat.
Hey, sweetie.
She kisses him.
What happened? You forget your mom was picking you up?
No.
So what's going on?
Felt like being alone.
Okay. Come on, I'll drive you home.
She gets in the back of the car.
Hey, Mike.
Later, city lights shine in the night. From an aerial view, a van drives past a warehouse on a quiet street. It passes trucks in a lot that read Aztec Linen. Vincent, Detective Bosco, and two other detectives are in one of the trucks with two officers.
What's happening?
Other officers are on a route with Drucker.
Captain Jackson wants to know what's going on.
Nothing's going on. Stay off the air.
Chris and Michael get out of the van. Michael has gears strapped to him as he moves away quickly. Chris closes the van door. In the linen truck, Vincent watches them on a monitor. Chris is crouched at the door of the warehouse as Michael climbs a telephone pole. Chris puts a spike in the keyhole of a metal door, then hits it with a sledgehammer. Michael continues to climb up the pole while a shadow of Chris using a crowbar is cast on a sign. Michael straps himself to the top of the pole as Vincent watches Chris on the monitor. Michael plugs a cable into a telephone box as Chris grabs the crowbar with both hands. Michael has a laptop computer that lights up. Chris looks up at him and he nods. Chris pulls on the crowbar and Michael starts to come down.
Open sesame, right there.
Outside, an officer looks through binoculars. An officer with a walkie-talkie lifts a gun. A SWAT team waits by an SUV. Neil walks into the warehouse with a flashlight. He looks down a dark hallway. From an overhead sprinkler, water drips onto the floor and he shines his flashlight on it. Chris enters behind him. They walk down the hallway, and Chris is pushing a case on wheels. Vincent watches as Neil comes back outside and shuts the door behind him. Neil looks around, then walks to one side of the door and waits. In the linen truck, a second monitor shows a close-up of Neil's face in negative image. Chris is drilling. Outside, Neil is cloaked in the shadows of the building as he waits. Vincent watches him on the monitor. Behind Vincent, an officer sits down and accidentally hits the side of the truck with his gun. Vincent spins around to look at the officer, then quickly looks back at the monitor. Neil looks toward the linen trucks. Vincent stares at his face on the monitor. Neil hesitates, then walks away. Back in the warehouse, he's walking quickly down the hallway. He approaches Chris.
Walk.
I'm right there.
We walk now. Come on.
Neil walks out as Chris takes off his gloves and coveralls. In the linen truck, Vincent is still staring at the monitor. On the monitor, Neil walks out of the building and toward the van.
Heads up.
The officers on the roof watch him.
What's coming out? Just hold it, Captain. Vincent, he's not carrying anything.
Yeah, I see.
On the monitor, Chris walks out of the building.
Here we go.
Not till my boss says so.
Vincent looks at Bosco, who gestures that he doesn't know what to do. Vincent looks at another detective, who shakes his head no.
Okay, let him go.
What do you mean? We can take him on.
What? On what? What are you going to take him on? Breaking an entry? They didn't steal anything yet. Don't you get it? It gets knocked back to some misdemeanor. They do 6 months and they're out. No way.
I'm not taking the heat from my bosses because you let them go. They're not walking.
That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to walk. This is my operation. I have tactical command that supersedes your rank. They will walk away and you will let them.
Vincent slams down the walkie-talkie as the van drives away.
LAPD. Gee, what? Where'd this heat come from?
Maybe it's the score they're on to. The place, not us. Because it's been hit a couple of times, you know, something.
Assume they got our phones, assume they got our houses, assume they got us. Right here, right now, as we sit, everything. Assume it all.
How are we going to buy the bank package from Kelso?
I'll front that. That's not a problem.
Well, what the hell happens to Van Zandt or 750?
Van Zandt, listen, with the heat we got, you want to play World War II in the streets with Van Zandt?
No, I want my 750. When he gets a pass?
I got more motivation to whack Van Zandt than either of you. He is a luxury. Our problem is take the bank or split right now. Do not go home. Do not pack. Nothing. 30 seconds flat from now, we are gone on our separate ways. That's it. Chris.
The bank is worth the risk. I need it, brother. You should stay and take it down. That's where I come out.
Neil turns to Michael.
I roll with you, Neil, whatever.
No, not on this one, Michael. On this one, you're on your own.
Michael looks at Chris. He steps closer to Neil.
You figure this is the best thing to do? This is the best thing to do?
I got plans. I'm going away after. So for me, the reward is maybe worth the stretch. All Elaine takes good care of you. You got plenty put away. You got T-bonds, real estate. If I were you, I would be smart. I would cut loose of this.
Michael licks his lower lip, then looks at Chris. He turns back to Neil.
Well, you know, for me, the action is the juice. I'm in.
Chris smiles. Neil turns to the mustached man.
Go.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. I got a lot of work.
Michael walks away, and the other three go to a van. Vincent, Drucker, and two other detectives are walking quickly through a warehouse, followed by a police officer. In an office, a man is on the phone with his feet on a desk.
Well,
you can't go in there.
Watch this.
Excuse me.
Tim, I got a clear thing.
Wait, you have to have an appointment.
Can I help you?
Are you Alan Marciano?
Yeah, and who the hell are you?
How am I?
Hey!
Lieutenant Vincent Hanna, LAPD.
L.A., this is Las Vegas. You don't even have jurisdiction here.
Vincent throws him into a chair.
Hey, I don't know who you guys think you're pushing around, but I know people here, okay?
Las Vegas PD takes you into custody. You are extradited to Newark on a New Jersey warrant for smuggling cigarettes up from North Carolina 3 years ago, or you go to work for us. Cut and dry. That is it.
Oh, man.
Charlene Shaherless.
Who?
Who?
What are you, flipping Al?
The lady you've been talking dirty to on telephone every day last week.
Yeah, all right. You know what? You can't tie me to her.
Yeah, well, who needs to? Because your ass is on a plane back to New Jersey, Jacko.
Why'd I get mixed up with that broad?
All I want is her husband
and his whole filthy crew.
Now, you're going to work with Sergeant Drucker here.
Oh, man.
Neil is with Michael and Chris.
San Clemente Road and Hermosa.
Uh-huh.
That's where we cut through the fence. That's the access.
Right. The security systems around here are a joke.
They stand near a car in a large waterfront loading area.
St. Vincent Thomas Bridge. That's escape route number one.
Number two. Over here. Anaheim to the 110.
Good.
Okay?
Yeah, it's up.
Got it? Good. Let's go.
A detective is lying on the roof of a huge oil storage tank with a camera. He inches backward as Neil, Michael, and Chris drive away. Detectives come down the stairs of the tank carrying equipment. Shortly after, Vincent is with them.
They were looking back.
They walk to where the suspects were standing.
In this direction. A container facility? What, cartage there? Too visible. Too low ball for them.
Vincent continues looking around.
Next door is an oil refinery. Over there is a scrapyard.
Refinery only pays by check. No cash around. Same for the scrapyard.
A crane moves in the scrapyard.
Maybe they're still on hubcaps. A refinery in a scrapyard. What the hell is going on? Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. We thought we had.
Vincent looks out over the water.
Thought we had. I got an idea of what they're looking at.
He looks around.
You want to know what they're looking at?
What?
I mean, is this guy something or is he something? This crew is good. You know what they're looking at?
What?
Us. The LAPD. The police department. We just got made.
From high above them, Neil is taking pictures. Vincent looks up as he walks around. Neil takes another photo as he watches him through the lens.
Okay, my man.
Neil snaps another picture, then looks over the camera at Vincent. Vincent and the detectives walk away. At night, Neil is in a car with a man with glasses. Neil is looking at schematics.
Kelso come through.
You can build a bank with these.
He puts them in his briefcase. The man with glasses shows a photo.
My name is Hannah. First name Vincent.
He hands it to Neil.
I smeared the sergeant advice 5 yards. Hannah's all over you. She's on all the work cars. Michael's house. She hears it's not yours. They've been losing you at night. And there's a hot dog. Graduate school. Marine Corps. Lieutenant robbery, homicide, major crime. He's taken down some heavy crews. Blew away Frank Yonder in Chicago. And he was a maniac. Was working narcotics before that. Had some problems with the boss twice. Kurt Weiss, Justine. He wore the extra heat. The vice sergeant says Hannah likes you. Thinks you're some kind of star. You do this shot, you do that shot. Look how sharp this guy is to figure that. Funny as a heart attack, man. Three marriages put. You think that means he likes staying home? Means the man is one of those guys out there, prowling around all night dedicated. With this guy, this much heat you should pass.
The photo is one that Neil took of Vincent. He looks at it again.
It's worth the stretch.
This guy can hit and miss. You can't miss once. You sure?
I'm sure. Let's go to the garage.
They pull away from under a highway overpass. Vincent comes home.
Justine!
The kitchen sink is full of dirty dishes.
Justine!
He goes upstairs. Justine is in a black dress putting on makeup.
Where are we going? Okay, where are you going?
Out.
Her back is to him. He stands there for a moment, then walks away. She turns to face him, then looks down. Vincent runs the faucet at the kitchen sink. He stands back, looks at it, then slams it off. He turns away and stands still for a moment. He checks his watch. Then walks out. Later, a helicopter flies over the city lights.
This is Vincent Hanna at Air 18. Who've I got?
Hey, Vincent, it's JJ. I'm in Air 40. Richie Glover's with me. It's on the 105 eastbound, approaching the 110 interchange.
You running a revolving tail?
Yeah, I got 2 units in front, 3 behind.
Okay, have one of them pick me up at the Vermont on-ramp.
Let's go.
The lights of Los Angeles blur as Vincent is flown over them in a helicopter. At a landing, a man waits near a car. The helicopter lands, and Vincent gets out. He walks to the driver's side of the car, and the man goes to the helicopter. Shortly after, he's driving down the highway. He drives under overpasses.
Am I 100 yards or what? Am I close or far or what?
300 yards, center lane.
He moves into the center lane under a sign that reads LA Airport. He gets directly behind a car and turns on a red flashing police light. Neil looks in his rearview mirror and puts on his blinker. He puts a pistol under his thigh and pulls over. Vincent stops his car behind him. Vincent gets out of the car, holding a gun against his leg. He walks to Neil's window.
How you doing? What do you say I buy you a cup of coffee?
Yeah, sure, let's go.
Follow me.
Vincent walks away, and Neil watches him in his side view mirror. Later, they're in a diner.
7 years in Folsom. In the hole for three. McNeil before that.
Neil nods.
McNeil is tough, as they say.
You looking to become a penologist?
You looking to go back? You know, I chased down some crews, guys just looking to foul up, get busted back. And you?
You must have worked some dipstick crews.
I worked all kinds.
You see me doing thrill-seeker liquor store holdups with a Born to Lose tattoo on my chest?
No, I do not.
Right. I am never going back.
Then don't take down scores.
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best, trying to stop guys like me.
So you never wanted a regular type life?
What the hell is that? Barbecues and ball games?
Yeah.
Neil nods.
This regular type life, that your life?
My life? No, my life. No, my life's a disaster zone. I got a stepdaughter so messed up because her real father's this large type Neanderthal. I got a wife. We're passing each other on the downslope of a marriage, my third. Because I spend all my time chasing guys like you around the block. That's my life.
Guy told me one time, don't let yourself get attached to anything you are not willing to walk out on in 30 seconds flat if you feel the heat around a corner. Now, if you're on me and you got to move when I move, how do you expect to keep a marriage?
Well, that's an interesting point. What are you, a monk?
I have a woman.
What do you tell her?
I tell her I'm a salesman.
So then if you spot me coming around that corner, you're just gonna walk out on this woman, not say goodbye?
That's the discipline.
That's pretty vacant, no?
Yeah, it is what it is. It's that or we both better go do something else, pal.
I don't know how to do anything else.
Neither do I.
I don't much want to either.
Neither do I.
Neil gives him a bit of a smile.
You know, we're sitting here. You and I are like a couple of regular fellas. You do what you do, I do what I gotta do. And now that we've been face to face, if I'm there and I gotta put you away, I won't like it. But I'll tell you, if it's between you and some poor guy whose wife you're going to turn into a widow, brother, you are going down.
Neil looks at him with a furrowed brow, then nods.
There's a flip side to that coin. What if you do got me boxed in and I got to put you down? Because no matter what, you will not get in my way. We've been face to face, yeah. But I will not hesitate. Not for a second.
Maybe that's the way it'll be. Or, who knows?
Or maybe we'll never see each other again.
They stare at each other. Detectives are in the squad room as Vincent walks in.
They dumped us.
What?
They dumped us.
What do you mean they dumped us?
Chris slipped his tail.
He doesn't talk about their scores with Charlene, so there's nothing for me to get from Marciano. I just tried.
What about Cerrito? Same. Transponders got put on a bus to San Clemente. They dumped all our surveillance.
Yeah. At the same time, 9 p.m.
I had coffee with McCauley half an hour ago.
We were on you. Then McCauley drives into LAX where surveillance can't fly over because of flight paths. His car's still there. He's gone.
Vincent puts his hands on his hips. The mustached man is sitting in a pickup truck in an empty parking garage. At the other end of the garage, another truck is parked and a plastic drape hangs next to it. Behind the plastic, Chris is working on the ceiling. With a circular saw, he removes a grate. Then, he thrusts a crowbar into the ceiling. A large piece of cement falls and he drops the crowbar. Michael climbs to the hole and removes an electronic board. He looks at a schematic, then plugs a cable into the board. In Van Sant's office, his assistant walks in.
You hear from him yet?
Not a thing. And not hearing bothers me more. Where's this guy?
His assistant motions for a man to come in.
This guy here. We put him on. Says he knows McCauley.
Wingrove looks around the office.
Who are you?
My name's Wingrove.
I've been living in this office day and night. How well do you know him?
Oh, we took some major scores together.
How come I haven't heard from him?
Well, he's probably busy right now. But he's real thorough. He ain't gonna forget about you.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Well, I got some moves I could make here.
Van Zandt looks at his assistant. The assistant looks back. And Wingrove looks at them both. Later, Neil, Michael, and Chris are in a diner booth. Neil looks behind him.
You recognize the grill man?
Chris takes off his sunglasses, and Don Breeden is at the grill.
Yeah. Awesome. Deep fly. How's with Bellevue Rush?
In the kitchen.
They got my freak yet, man.
Cisco and Poncho didn't show. Pull out the garbage. Mop out the back. Take your break later.
Low life scum.
Pick up!
Neil looks out the window.
Where the hell is he? I'm to check the slot for a work car.
So did I.
Michael answers his cell phone.
Yeah. Hang on.
He hands it to Neil.
Yeah. Use the landline. Call me at 1037.
Right. Neil gets up as Michael and Chris watch. The mustached man is at a payphone.
Where are you?
There's cops all over me, man. They're on me like a cheap suit. I can't dump them.
Neil looks around the diner.
Hip to the fact you spotted them.
No, they're doing parallels.
Chris walks up to him.
I can try to dump them again.
How are we gonna know if you did? If you didn't, you'll throw them to us. If Ventura, pull them out of here.
All right. Hey, I'm sorry, man. Last thing I want to do is let you down.
The mustached man hangs up and jogs away. Neil hangs up with a scowl. He walks away, leaving Chris at the phone. Breeden lifts scrambled eggs off the grill and onto a plate.
Pick up.
Neil taps him on the back.
Hey, Neil. Man, what up?
What's up, brother?
What you doing here?
What I'm doing is I'm looking for a driver with handler scanners and a radio right now, today. You remember the drill?
Yeah, man, sure.
You're cool.
I mean, now you know.
One answer, yes or no, right now.
Breeden looks at him, then looks around the kitchen.
Yeah, man, you on?
I'll back in five.
Neil walks away. Breeden looks down, then takes off his hat, unties his apron, and throws it on the floor as the grill smokes.
It's burning. Kick him up. What is it?
Breeden walks towards Salenko.
Where do you think you're going?
Bree throws it into the floor. In the bookstore, Edie is packing a box. Neil walks into a bank wearing an earpiece and a suit and tie. From a low angle, customers walk through the bank. A guard is standing at the door as Chris walks in, also wearing an earpiece. From one end of the bank, Neil observes employees working at desks and customers waiting in line for tellers. Michael is walking through the bank with the back of his suit jacket bulging out. He's wearing black gloves. Neil watches as a guard takes a file out of a drawer. Chris is standing at a counter wearing gloves and holding a briefcase. Michael stands near a glass wall and looks toward Neil at the other end of the bank. A guard writes on a notepad. Michael looks at the guard and smiles to Neil. Neil rolls a ski mask over his face, then Michael puts one on. Chris knocks one guard down, Michael drops another, and Neil aims an automatic rifle at a third.
Don't move! Don't move! Put your hands in the air! Put your hands in the air! Put them up! Now! Now! Get on your knees! Get on your knees!
Chris and Michael zip tie the fallen guard's hands behind their backs.
Hey! Hey! Get over there! Get
turn
down.
Around!
Turn around! Put your hands behind you! Behind you! Behind you!
Get out! Stay out!
Chris puts on a ski mask.
Get out! Get out!
Go, go, go!
Keys!
Chris takes one guard's keys from Michael and hands Michael the briefcase. Neil climbs on top of the teller windows.
We want to hurt no one. We're here for the bank's money, not your money. Your money's insured by the federal government. You're not going to lose a dime. Think of your families. Don't risk your life. Don't try and be a hero. Right now, I want you to sit on the floor and put your hands on your head. Anybody feel sick? Anybody got heart trouble? Go ahead and lean against the wall.
He goes to a man behind a desk.
Give me the key.
He punches him, reaches under the man's shirt.
Get out! And stay out!
And rips off the key.
Sit there. Sit there. Don't move. Let him bleed.
Neil walks away. He hands the key to Chris. Neil holds his gun on the customers while Chris uses the key to enter a vault.
Get out!
Chris puts his key in another door and opens it. He unlocks a third vault door. Inside is a cart piled with money that's wrapped in plastic. He opens the briefcase and pulls out a large duffel bag. He stretches the bag upside down over the money and flips the money into it. He pulls the sides of the bag up around the money, then takes out a knife and cuts the plastic.
Hey!
Chris drops the bag to break the plastic wrapper, then slides it on the floor toward the vault door. He gives two full bags to Neil.
Get down.
Neil runs to Michael, hands him one of the bags, and Michael runs out of the bank with it. Then Neil slowly backs out of the bank, holding his gun on the customers. At the police station, a detective walks into the squad room with a slip of paper.
Hey, Casals.
Yeah.
You guys working the case on the deal, McCauley? The CI Hugh Benny called in about a bank they're looking at or something?
Vasco sits up in his chair.
Vincent!
Casals reads the note.
Far East National Bank, 1130!
Vincent and several detectives run out of the squad room. At the bank, Michael takes off his mask. He puts on sunglasses, smooths his hair, and walks out. In a car, Vincent loads a gun wearing a bulletproof vest as Bosco's on the radio.
I want to block at Figueroa and 5th, and I want to block northbound Flower at 6th.
Outside the bank, Michael's walking past people on the sidewalk. The tip of Michael's automatic rifle sticks out below his suit jacket. Breeden is waiting in the car. Michael gets in the back seat.